Open your Bibles, please, to Matthew chapter 15. Matthew chapter 15, verses 21 through 28. The Bible says this, "And Jesus went away from there and withdrew to the district of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a Canaanite woman from that region came out and was crying, 'Have mercy on me, O Lord, Son of David. My daughter is severely oppressed by a demon.' But he did not answer her a word. And his disciples came and begged him, saying, 'Send her away, for she's crying out after us.' He answered, 'I was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel.' But she came and knelt before him, saying, 'Lord, help me.' And he answered, 'It is not right to take the children's bread and throw it to the dogs.' She said, 'Yes, Lord, but even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from their master's table.' Then Jesus answered her, 'O woman, great is your faith. Be it done for you as you desire.' And her daughter was healed instantly." On a mild summer night in 1995, found one family from Alma, Arkansas, in a very familiar place. They were at the local baseball field. Many of you have been there on those mild summer nights. While watching the game and keeping her eye on a playful seven-year-old, the life of this family forever changed. For in those few moments, someone kidnapped the little girl. Her name was Morgan Nick. Colleen Nick, her mother, has been searching, wondering, seeking, and praying to find her daughter ever since. Her love has been unwavering. Her desire to find her daughter has been ceaseless. And I dare say if that same thing happened to us, we would all be in the same situation. Much like this woman who came to Jesus in this story, what would you do to protect a child? What would you do to make sure they had the very best that they needed? What would you do to make sure, as this woman had here, a demon in her daughter? What lengths would you go to make sure that that was done and taken care of? Probably the same lengths that Miss Nick would go to. Probably the same lengths that any of us as parents have gone to. Have any of you ever just dusted off an old Easter dress or just simply taken a suit to the cleaners so that the kids could have something for Easter? Have you ever done the same thing for Christmas? Have you ever looked your spouse in the eye and said, "We're going to buy the kids Christmas this year, but I'm going to hug your neck and you're going to hug my neck, and that's Christmas for us"? You say, "What are you talking about?" The love that we have for our children, and especially the love of a mother. The love of a mother who knows Jesus Christ as her personal Savior is also entwined in her faith. Her faith is in Jesus Christ. But in that faith, there is a love that comes because she is that godly woman that is described in the 31st chapter of Proverbs. Here in this passage, as we go through this story today, I want you to stop and think and say to yourself, would I have done this very same thing? And I dare say all of us would have. Notice what happens. Jesus is withdrawing to Tyre and Sidon. Now, for us, that's like going to Texas. Nobody really wants to go down there, but we go down there to get away from, you know, things. You know, it's a whole nother country down there. That's what they say about it, anyway. You know, so here we are, you know, here we are, and Jesus is trying to get away. He's been healing people. He's been dealing with the Pharisees in the earlier part of the chapter. He needs some downtime. But you know, one of the interesting things about being a child of God, we don't get downtime. We're always a child of God. We always need to have that ability to witness and to talk to someone else about Jesus Christ. But he removes himself. He goes to Tyre and Sidon, which is in the northern part of Israel. And he comes upon, and the Bible says, and behold, a Canaanite woman. Mark's gospel in Mark chapter 7 says she is a Syrophoenician. You say, why does that even matter? Well, why does it matter to us today? When we meet people, we size them up, don't we? You know, we look at all of those things that are involved. This woman's a Gentile. She is from an area, she's a Canaanite. If you go back to Genesis chapter 10, you'll find that Canaan and his brethren were to be the servants of Shem and Japheth. They were the ones rejected because of what Ham and Canaan had done to Noah. And so we have to understand that. We have to understand there's a lot of built-in enmity here. They don't like each other. You say, well, that's wrong. I didn't say it was right. I just said it's a fact. Now, you say, well, you know, we're supposed to love everybody. I agree with that. But tell me if we live in a world where that's true. I doubt if any of us really can say that it's that true. Now, notice what happens. She boldly comes to Jesus, which begs the question, what did she know about him? And it begs the question for us today, what do you know and what do I know about Jesus? That's a question we all have to answer in our own hearts and in our own lives. We must make sure that we understand exactly who Jesus is. Jesus, through the power of the Holy Spirit, will convict you of sin and righteousness and judgment. Jesus, through the power of the Holy Spirit, will reveal to you that he loves you and that he sacrificed himself for you. At the point in this story, Jesus has not yet gone to the cross. So what is it that this woman knew and understood? I think several things. I think she understood, my daughter has a demon. I have to find some help. You say, well, no, that's quite obvious in the story. Yes, it is. But one of the things that we must understand is how obvious is it to us that we need Jesus? The woman understood she needed it, but not for her, but for her daughter. May I say something here that may rankle a few feathers? Not only do you need Jesus, but so do your children. So do your grandchildren. So do your nieces and nephews. Your cousins and all their children. You say, well, we'll end up with a family church. That's okay. There's nothing wrong with that, with people being saved. Whatever their physical relation happens to be to you, the best relationship you'll ever have with someone is a brother and sister in Christ. And we have to understand, and this woman, she doesn't know all the theological answers that we need to know from the law or from the Bible. But what she does know is there is a need. There is a need in our world today for people to know the Jesus of the Bible. The Jesus who loves us, who sacrificed himself. This woman arrives. She is a Canaanite woman, and look at her words. Have mercy on me, O Lord, O Son of David. How does she know he's a son of David? You say, well, he's Jewish.
Yes.
But we also understand that Jesus, according to Matthew 1 and 1, is not only the son of Abraham, but he's also the son of David. He is the root of David. You say, well, why does that matter? Because that's the lineage through Judah that Jacob told his sons that Messiah would come. The Christ, the one that would save the world from all of its sin. Notice what happens. She pleads, makes her plea to him, says, oh, have mercy on me. She doesn't think she deserves it. She's not there pointing her finger at him, demanding that he do something. She's pleading with him. She's asking for something she doesn't deserve. Do any of us deserve it? I don't think so. But yet God provides it. He provides that grace that saves all of us. It says, my daughter is severely oppressed by a demon. And notice the rejection, the poignant rejection of Jesus. He answered her not a word. You ever been ignored? When I'm in the midst of watching a baseball game, if my wife says something to me, I usually don't hear it. Now, I hear the sounds, and I may even hear the words, but I don't hear it. And, of course, none of you ever act that way. I understand that. All of you gentlemen that are here, anytime your wife speaks, you automatically focus all of your attention, and the words are, yes, dear, and what is it that I can do for you? Don't punch your husband in the ribs, ladies. Okay. Now look, here's what I want us to think and to see. This is not a normal reaction by Jesus. Read the Gospels. Even Pharisees and Sadducees, the people that don't get along with him, he at least sometimes will dignify them with an answer. Can you imagine how this woman feels? Jesus ignores her. He will not answer her. He's rejecting her. Now, it's one thing to be ignored. It's a totally another thing to be rejected, isn't it? Being rejected is a painful thing. In fact, it gets worse. The disciples came and begged him, send her away, for she's crying out after us. Let's not just ignore her and reject her. Let's send her away. One of the funniest things that used to happen growing up, and even with our children growing up, is as children get to be 11, 12, 13 years old, and the adults are in the room talking, guess what the kids want to do? They want to hear. Because for the first time in their life, they're understanding the adults are talking about something we're not supposed to know about. And I don't know if any of you have ever snuck around and listened, but I'm sure at some point you have, or known have someone that did. You say, what are you talking about? When you get caught and you get sent out of the room, that's rejection. And that hurts. Especially when you get it done the third time and dad corrects you. It hurts. Okay? You say, what are you talking about? This woman has come to a man called Jesus that she thinks and believes with all of her heart can solve her problem, and he's not listening. May I assure you of a couple of things today? The Jesus that loves us will listen to us. The Jesus that loves us will care for us. Now notice, the Bible says that Jesus answered then to the disciples, and he's talking to the disciples, I was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Notice what the woman says. Lord, help me. She doesn't give up. She doesn't stop just because there's been a few roadblocks, just because there's been a few obstacles. She cries out to the Lord, help me. Ladies and gentlemen, when we are in that desperate situation in our lives where we need help and we need the power of God and we need God's grace and we need understanding, don't give up. Don't say, well, you know, I didn't get exactly what I wanted, so I'm just going to give up. Don't give up. This woman didn't give up. She cried out, Lord, help me. And then notice Jesus' profound response. He said to her, it's not right to take the children's bread and throw it to the dogs. Now, that doesn't mean much to us today because there's too many fifis at home. You know, my uncles treated their old coon dogs better than they treated their kids, okay? But when you pay $10,000 for a coon dog, you're going to take care of him too, okay? Now, here's the thing I want you to see. She hasn't given up. Jesus is going to call her a dog. And the word that's translated dog here means that old Heinz 57 mongrel that's out there that runs up and down the street and eats off of everybody's table. Okay, that snarls at you when you go by. Jesus said, "No, I'm not going to give you what Israel deserves." But notice the woman's faith. Yes, Lord. Yet even the dogs, and the word that's translated dogs here is Fifi. It's the little dog in the house. The little dog that you keep that sleeps on the end of the bed. You know, y'all act like y'all don't know what I'm talking about. You know. Now, for a number of years, we had a poodle. Oh. All he hunted was the food bowl. You know, I thought a dog was supposed to hunt something. But, you know, he was in the house. He was taken care of. And here's the thing that I want us to see. This woman said, yay, Lord. But even the dogs that are in the house eat the crumbs that fall from their master's table. They don't get the choice parts. They just get the crumbs. And here's what she's asking for. I want just a little bit of love. I want just a little bit of mercy. I want just a little bit of grace. Paul would write later that it wasn't just a little bit that God gives us, but it's the unsearchable riches of Jesus Christ. We don't get just a little, we get all we need. We get that sufficient grace. Y'all know what sufficient grace means? It means it'll meet every need in your life. Here in this verse and in this story, the woman's faith is that Jesus will do based on mercy and grace what I ask him to do. And notice Jesus' response in verse 28. Oh, woman, great is your faith. Her faith. Was she after the healing of her daughter? Yes, absolutely she was. But what did she find? She found a Savior who listened. I don't know all of you here today. I don't know all the conditions in your life. But I can tell you this. If you've never been born again, if you've never had an experience of faith in Jesus with Jesus Christ, he will hear your plea, he will hear your cry, and he will save your soul. And he'll do it when you ask and believe. This woman believed. she trusted. Notice her words, O Lord, Son of David, Lord, help me. She was desperate. You may be here and desperate today because your life's falling apart for a dozen different reasons. Let me offer you Jesus Christ. You say, will all of my problems go away? No. But he'll be with you to go with you every step of the way. He will comfort you and strengthen you and give you what you need. Jesus said also, be it done to you for you as you desire. And her daughter was healed instantly. If you go to Mark's account and read this, you'll find that the daughter was not with her. She was at home. And you'll find that Jesus did it instantly. The demon was gone. I don't know what demons you face today, but if it's a demon of unbelief, Jesus will save you. If you have a demon of addiction, Jesus will save you. If you have a demon of anger, Jesus will save you. If you have a demon of any stripe, the love of God and the grace of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ will forgive your sin and heal your heart. You say, well, what about my addiction? That's a day-to-day thing. But Jesus is there to help you overcome. Jesus will be there. This woman's faith, this mother's faith, is commended. So I have another question to ask. Would Jesus commend our faith today? If you're here and you already know Jesus Christ as your Savior and you're already doing your very best to live for the Lord, what will he say? I heard a sermon Friday night at seminary graduation. One of our graduates preached the sermon and his theme was, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Will we hear that? Let me tell you how we'll hear it if we believe. If we follow, if we trust. You have the kind of faith this Canaanite woman had. It was unequivocal. Her faith wasn't in herself. Her faith wasn't in her desire. Her faith was in her Lord, in Jesus Christ. Our services started today with those little children coming up here singing two marvelous songs. Jesus loves me, this I know. You remember when you learned that song? You've known it all your life, haven't you? If you've been in church. And then the B-I-B-L-E. Yes, that's the book for me. I stand alone on the Word of God. You say, well, why don't you sing it? Because you would all leave. I'm not going to sing it. Yes, that's the book for me. Is it? The Jesus of the Bible, is that who you love and who you trust? If it's not, today's the day of salvation. For those of us who are already God's children, it's time to live so that we'll hear the words, well done, thou good and faithful servant. It's time to be the salt and light in our world that we need to be. Make that commitment today. Have this Canaanite woman's faith. I wish I could stand here and tell you that Miss Colleen Nick has found her daughter. But to my knowledge, she still hasn't. But she's still looking. Jesus Christ is looking for you. The Bible tells us that no man seeks God on his own at any time. But Jesus is seeking you. Will you believe him? Will you trust him? Heavenly Father, thank you today that we can study your word. Open our hearts to receive it. Oh, Lord, if there's one here today that needs to trust you as personal Savior, allow them to know and understand that you love them unequivocally and that you've already died for them and been buried and rose again the third day that they might have eternal life. Help us, oh, Lord, as your children to live for you, to have the faith of this Canaanite woman, a faith that will be commended because our faith is in you. Give us the strength that we need to serve you. May your Holy Spirit lead and guide the hearts of people today. In Jesus' precious name we ask it all. Amen.